get out of my format, boy, and don't ever come back. Kira!
Hi, I'm a 2-mana, game plan, powerhouse enchantment that draws a card. Maya!
Do you hear that?
No. But
exactly.
I think that's the point.
Ding Dong, the witch is dead.
Oh,
he's gone.
Thank God.
Vivi Ornithier has been banned in Standard.
Oh, praise be. Praise be.
Honestly, similar to Corey Steelcutter, not much to say about that.
Nope, was busted.
Was busted, was too good. Kind of wrecked the format for a very long time.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, right? Came out in, like, July?
June.
Yeah. And then just, like, has only been banned in November because Wizards are trialing the new ban cycle, right?
Well, and this was pushed up. Like, the ban on November 10th was pushed up from, like, the 22nd or whatever it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be end of November. They adjusted the ban window. And now we've received a new announcement that the ban cycle in 2026, there'll be a update pretty much every other month.
Yeah, they said they're basically doubling the frequency of banning updates.
Yeah, because we had, what, 2 this year?
We had 2 this year, but there was 1 that nothing changed.
So there was 3. Because then there was, I think, no changes, and then the Corey Steelcutter ban, and now the VV ban.
Yes, because the Corey Steelcutter ban was also the Up the Beanstalk ban and the...
Yes, that was
the sweet ban, if you will.
That was the ban to end all bans.
The big un.
That was the big un. So, I mean, they're more than doubling it then. Like, there's going to be, I think, 6 ban windows next year. And how do you feel about that?
Positive?
Mm.
Look, there is, coming from the perspective of Wizards not being able to acknowledge the secondary market, it makes a lot of sense, right? You want a regular ban cycle to maintain the health of your theoretically premier format. Right. And there are other card games with more regular ban cycles that do a very good job of keeping a format fresh. Right. Because inevitably with Standard, you see a convalescence towards a best thing. That's just kind of has to be the way when you're working with such a small card pool. And especially with this sort of like push design philosophy, we see like experiments that end up being much more powerful mm-hmm. than the rest of the format. And as a result, there's sort of this congregation towards the top. So a regular ban cycle, I think, is likely to keep the format fresh. And importantly, I think, is actually going to put a little bit of uncertainty into the secondary market, which is going to keep Standard cards like 10 to 15% cheaper. And I like more accessible Standard cards.
Here's another question for you then too. What then do you think of the idea? Because I actually think there's something really important with, if we're going to be printing 6 sets a year, I think I think we need more ban windows, because you run into stagnated periods like we had with Vivi, where it just ran amok for months. And you know, sitting here saying like for months on end when it was like 4, but still like...
That's months on end.
That's
a third of a year.
And that's a... Dale Standard. Like, you had people who actively avoided playing Standard, people who were vocal about, I'm not really interested in playing Standard right now because of this. And obviously there was like, you know, breaking parity of your local game store metagame may not have actually really reflected, you know, a Standard challenge or a spotlight series. You may have actually really been surprised to see that your local Standard metagame is actually whatever, you know, your group of college kids could scrounge together from their draft nights that they'd been doing. So I don't know. I think it's interesting as well, because previously, you know, the Standard rotation cycle was changed because of this fear of cards not having value. And it, you know, frustrated players to think that they'd have to keep buying new cards. But I take your point. I think I really like this idea of keeping Standard as the accessible premier format.
Yeah. And with the expansion of Standard to 3 years, there kind of does need to be a little bit of give and take. Right. Because it is incredibly, like, I'm not sure if you've ever tried to balance a card game. It's really hard. It is not an easy thing to do, especially when you are interested in pushing the design of those cards. Like, sure, if you go back to like old Magic design philosophy, where power creep was kept to an absolute minimum, and you know, there were entire limited formats where the best thing you could do was play a 2-mana 2/3 vanilla, right? It is more easy to balance around this sort of, you know, I'm not going to say stagnant, but this more consistent baseline in terms of game development, right? But as you're interested in like pushing, seeing more of what Magic cards can do, right? Pushing the like VV style effects, the prosthetic memory style effects, then you need kind of a pressure release valve, because they're going to pose more of a problem.
I think that opens up a really interesting line of criticism as well, because if you're having to design 6 sets a year, a lot of things are going to fall through the cracks, right? And there comes a moment where I think players have said, like, you know, maybe if there weren't this many sets per year, the design space would have more room and you'd be able to, you know, test these things better. You'd be able to predict certain patterns better, and you'd be able to avoid, you know, cards like Profts or Screaming Nemesis or Vivi. So, yeah, it's really interesting. So let's talk about the not obvious but obvious bans. Like, we're not going to talk about Vivi. We understand. Goodbye forever. You know, we did not really enjoy having you around. You were cool for a little bit, but nah.
You were cool for Pro Tour, eh? The Pro Tour Final Fantasy, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool.
I like that.
Very well done. For everything else, no thank you.
Original Vivi Cauldron deck when it first came around, Pulavita Demeterosa at the Pro Tour. That was cool. It needed to be around for, I think, 3.5 less months, but you know.
We live and we learn.
We do.
The other two cards that were banned were Profts Eidetic Memory. Mm-hmm. And Screaming Nemesis.
Yep.
So let's talk about that. Profts Eidetic Memory.
So have you read the BNR?
I did read the BNR, yeah, yes.
Kind of the big theme of the BNR was counterplay. Uh-huh. And Profts Eidetic Memory is a really interesting card because on the face of it, it doesn't actually look that good, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, 2-mana enchantment, draw a card, put a counter on a thing. That's okay. Uh-huh. It's fine. But it kind of pushed this design space that's similar to Up the Beanstalk, right? Where it's a 2-mana enchantment that's hard to interact with, that draws a card, that is kind of a game plan in and of itself. There have been a lot of the best, like, VV deck players have said there were, like, multiple occasions where I just sideboarded out my VVs and sideboarded out my cauldrons, and the way I was killing people was just, like, putting a Steam Core Scholar into play with a Profts Eidetic Memory, and that's just good enough. And that is kind of the reason it got banned, right? Because it's an incredibly powerful card that's difficult to interact with and was actually maybe, with the density of good card draw in the format, still just the best thing you could be doing. And, you know, the current format's a little bit interesting. We've only had the ban for 1.5 weeks or so. And the best deck is still, is it? But, you know, it's less of a powerhouse. There is much more counterplay at the moment. And we'll see how this evolves with Atla. But yeah, look, a one-card game plan that draws a card and is impossible to interact with favorably is difficult, especially when we're in a format that's kind of already very hostile to things like counter magic.
And thankfully, I think the one, like, tick in the right direction box was that it was a legendary enchantment.
Yep.
But the number of times I just watched people legend rule themselves for the extra card draw and counters, like, it almost didn't matter because the card replaced itself, and that's what made Up the Beanstalk so good as well. When it enters, you draw a card, and when Profts enter, you draw a card. And so the ability to replace it is kind of free, you know, in a format like Standard where you don't actually have free spells, it's kind of free.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the best three words in Magic is draw a card, right?
Or win the game.
That too. But because if Profts Eidetic Memory or Up the Beanstalk for that matter did not have the word draw, like did not draw a card on enter, we'd be having a very different conversation because all of a sudden there's a lot of like instant speed interaction that you can use to interact with the permanents before they become a problem, right? But the fact that it replaces themselves means that even when you're interacting, you are net down a card, right? You're spending one card to deal with a card of your opponent's that has already replaced itself. And that is a big problem. And for something like Up the Beanstalk, I think it's probably still too broken, even with the even if it didn't have the draw a card on it, because it's easy to have it in play and then trigger it immediately. But with something like Prof's Eidetic Memory, you are guaranteed an entire round of priority to deal with the Prof's Eidetic Memory before you get the counter trigger if it didn't say draw a card.
The thing with Profts as well is that, and similar to Beanstalk in that way, Wizards will always continue to create or reprint draw spells.
Yeah.
Like, drawing a card is very normal. It's a regular mechanic.
It is a core fundamental part of the game.
Yeah. And so there's always going to be ways, you know, was it Rakshasa's Bargain as well? Like, there's so many ways to draw cards. Even if they're not necessarily favorable, you can start playing less good cards to trigger your great card that gives you great advantage. You know, Steam Core Scholar has Vigilance. Free. Like, it's so powerful. And I think when I was talking to players about Profts as well, and about players who were hoping to see it banned alongside, you know, VV Cauldron in that realm, was if they don't also ban Profts, that's going to be a huge problem, because that is still one of the best cards. And it will still make Is It really, really good, because you will still be left with things like Fear of Missing Out, Marauding Mako, and Steam Core Scholar, which just make Profts so, that much better.
You know what, Interaction is really, really scary with Prof's Eidetic Memory?
What?
Quantum Riddler.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it needed to go.
Yeah.
It needed to go. I'd like to briefly sit in my little, like, crown throne and be like, I was correct. Like, I don't think Cauldron needed to be banned, because, as I've said previously, Cauldron was not good until Vivi. It was good. It was fine. It was playable in the old, like, Insidious Roots, Tyvar.
It wasn't broken.
It wasn't broken. It was a fair Magic card.
I'm not sure it was ever a fair Magic card, but the level of synergy around it wasn't strong enough to push it to being broken. The thing that broke it was the free mana generation, right? And
giving all of your other creatures the free mana generation ability.
Yeah, and free mana generation is almost always going to be a problem. So if you remove Vivi, I think there will be a tier 2 Cauldron deck. And I think it will be some flavor of Roots, probably. But I think it is unlikely to be nearly as broken as the... Well, sorry, nearly as, like, format dominating as Vivi Cauldron.
Yeah. So the other ban was Screaming Nemesis.
Yep. I personally am extremely happy about this.
Yes. In the BNR, I think they made a really good point about saying how it enabled mono red aggro to actually play defensively favorably. You know, Screaming Nemesis was one of the best blockers in the format, because you weren't going to charge your, you know, 6 mana 6/6 into it. Ever. You know, it was something that, like, you always put your opponent down a card to deal with it. It, you know, it was amazing. It was one of the best red cards, but I think we've seen over this year, red hasn't needed to be better.
No, you know, certainly
between,
not.
Between Cori Steelcutter, Monstrous Rage, Manifold Mouse, like, Heartfire Hero.
Vivi Ornithia,
Screaming Nemesis. Red has had, this is, 2025 is the year of red. The red decks have been so good this year. And so I think it is a fair play to identify Screaming Nemesis as one of the, you know, top next best things in red.
Yeah. When they were designing Screaming Nemesis, they were designing it for a format that was hostile to mono red.
Yeah.
Right. They were like, okay, we would like people to still be, particularly newer players, to be able to play their mono red decks. And so they printed this incredibly powerful card that incidentally got around two of the major ways that, or two of the major forms of counterplay against your traditional aggro decks, right? And again, this is sort of the buzzword of this particular BNR being counterplay, because Screaming Nemesis A prevents you from gaining life, which is the traditional counterplay against a, you know, mono red burn style deck, and it stops big blocking creatures being good, which again is another way that you traditionally beat mono red, because if your creatures are bigger and you can block profitably, you can actually push them into a scenario where you are trading one for one. And this is why mid-range typically has a good matchup into aggro. But it is incredibly hard for mid-range decks in the current format to deal with the Screaming Nemesis type card, because you can't block it, and you can't let it deal damage to you. Interactions where your opponent, you know, casts a Burst Lightning on a Screaming Nemesis to prevent you gaining life is massive. One of the decks that is supposed to be the best against mono red is the like mono white caretaker variants, because you have big creatures and you have life gain, like in the form of Phaser and in the form of Carrot Cake. And it's just not good. And that is almost single-handedly the result of Screaming Nemesis. Don't get me wrong, I love a mono red deck. I love a mono red deck, especially when it's a little bit on the combo-ier side, and, you know, a pin in that for future episodes. But Screaming Nemesis was too good in a format where mono red was already well positioned, and it did need to go, especially because mono red was the only deck that was putting up a fight against VV.
Yes, and when you have, you know, if the tier 2 deck is the only deck that can beat up, you know, if the number 2 deck is the only deck that can beat up against the number 1 best deck, and you only ban cards in the number 1 best deck, you assure without any doubt that that will now be the number 1, you know, the what's it, like the ghoul of the format, you know, the terror of the format will be mono red, because no one's going to be able to beat it at that point.
Yeah, and the VV deck was well and truly above the power level that standard is at. So if you are able to compete with that, even at like a 48-49% win rate, then you are also too powerful for the current format and it needs to be adjusted. And sure, we can go back and forth and have an argument about how the metagame would have adjusted around mono red and how, you know, people would be playing 4 main deck fresh start to deal with Screaming Nemesis. But if that's true, then we already have a problem, right?
Yes. Well, it's so interesting as well. I actually sat down, viewers at home, take a shot, because I'm about to say the name we always say. I was playing with Ben Tudman the other day, and I was playing Simic Omni.
Okay.
Into the Izzet deck. That's sure. Now, like, really, really good.
The Izzet Riddler?
I don't know if it was Izzet Riddler. I'd have to ask him. It was just an Izzet deck. I was like a Storm Chaser's Talent, something Izzet sure. deck. And we were looking at the sideboard just for fun, and I was like, the sideboard for this deck, and I have like an older version, like the first iteration of Simic Omni when it came out. And I was like, there are 6 cards in this sideboard that were for VV and Mono Red that now don't matter anymore. And it was Unable to Scream, Fresh Start, and Aegis Turtle, because all that, you know, is blockers and removing abilities. And I was like, well, a lot of my sideboard can change now, which is really cool. But it's also really interesting to see, you know, 6 sideboard slots is a lot to dedicate against, you know, 2 cards in the format.
Especially in a deck that is already very high synergy and is quite punishing of oversideboarding.
Yes. So really interesting. I'm very curious to see how the metagame is going to change. Were there any... Did you expect anything else, like, to get banned? Were you expecting anything else to get hit? I think we had mentioned, like, I was hoping there were things that maybe were going to get unbanned, but was there anything that you expected to see on this ban list that wasn't there?
I am surprised that they... Well, okay. I will say, my expectation for the ban announcement was VV or Nissia. I was expecting a 1-card ban announcement because I didn't think Agatha's Soul Cauldron was important. I hadn't really thought about... I have played the non-VV Izzet decks while VV was still in the format because I wanted to give them a try. And they're, like, very, very powerful. I hadn't played them with Quantum Riddler, though, and that likely would have pushed it over the top. So I wasn't necessarily sold on that going. I thought they would be a little bit more slow to ban another Izzet card, just because of the likely increase in the ban cycles next year. And I did not expect Screaming Nemesis to go. I am happy that it did, but mm-hmm. I did not. The thing that I am interested as to why it didn't happen is they banned two cards out of Vivi. They banned a card out of Mono Red. I am surprised they didn't take a card out of Dimir. If only because, mm-hmm. and we've mm-hmm. talked about this mm-hmm. before, when you ban a bunch of high synergy cards out of the format, the deck that inevitably floats to the top is the mid-range deck of the format, right? And I don't necessarily think Dimir mid-range is a good deck right now, but it is currently sitting at 30% of the metagame. It is likely to equalize to be substantially less than that. But for now, just in order to curb that, really, really kind of like hard spike in the early game that's going to stifle a little bit of innovation, maybe taking a pop shot at Kaito could have been something they considered. I don't think it was necessary. But yeah, that is what, given the way that they did do the bannings, I am surprised they didn't take a piece out of Dimir.
I do think Ben Tadman was very surprised that Into the Floodmaw has still not been banned, given its utility and how good of a removal spell it is for blue, and how much it's able to push both Izzet and Dimir decks over the edge. I was hesitant. I was like, I don't know. I haven't seen that many people playing with Into the Floodmaw, but I think it's about to, again, become a really, really, really good spell. I agree. I think it's interesting to not, if you're going to take a chunk out of standard, if you're going to ban more than just Vivi, dig a little deeper. Go beyond just Vivi and Profts and Screaming Nemesis. Find something. You know, would have been really weird to be like, Enduring Curiosity. Huh. But like, again, you know, I think there was that level of shock when like the Up the Beanstalk of Wailos banning was announced. It was like, really? We're just going to hit every top 8 deck. Okay. Interesting. I remember speaking to, I'm not sure if it was still like someone from Team Bus Stop who was saying like, you know, we did a trial testing of a trial banning where Vivi and Cauldron got banned, and we rebuilt a bunch of decks and played, and Profts is still the best. So Profts absolutely needs to be banned. If, you know, if they ban Vivi and they ban Cauldron and Profts is still legal, Izzet is still the best deck. Like, bar none, Izzet is still the best deck. And so I was very much in agreement in saying that I think Profts should go, because I think the synergies and the way that it's designed are just way too high and way too positive. So it's been a really interesting ban cycle.
Yeah. I will say, I think it would be an interesting world where a bounce spell needed to be banned. Like, I understand that, like, don't get me wrong, Into the Floodmaw, very, very powerful card. Probably the most powerful one drop in the format right now. But it's an unsummon. And I like, maybe it is just that in the context of the format, with tempo positive decks being overwhelmingly the most powerful thing to do, that piece of interaction is so overwhelmingly powerful because it functions as an exile removal spell, because you cast it and then your opponent dies. But
the reason being is that it's a very limitless blue removal spell. If you gift a tapped fish, it's non-land permanent. And it allows blue to interact with types it wouldn't normally interact with. It can hit artifacts, enchantments, planeswalkers. It can attack your opponent on a new angle, on one that it normally struggles to. If Unsummon is the best bounce spell in blue and that only hits creatures, a bounce spell that can modally hit anything else is huge.
Sure, but blue has always had the ability to interact with non-land permanents. Mm. It's just usually at a little bit more mana, right? Like,
but I think that's the point, is like at a one mana rate.
Yeah, no, it's very powerful. I guess we'll see. We'll see early January, right? No, late January?
Late January.
26 or something?
Yeah, late January. I mean, I'm gonna pick up a set of Into the Flood Moths. Oh,
I already have mine. I bought them a while ago.
Oh, she's so fancy. She's already got her set of Into the Flood Moths.
Yeah, I did pay $15 a pop for them, though.
I mean, I think that also, again, like, the secondary market is not real and it cannot hurt you.
Not if you have a Mana Traders account.
But I think it's, I think as much as it sucks, price sometimes is a pretty decent indicator of how good a card is. But speaking of, like, this is a total random tangent and not related to Banlist at all. Stock Up's only $9 now.
Oh, damn, I got to buy myself.
I know.
That's not too bad.
I remember when it was like $25.
Yeah, you know what deck I'm never playing? Anything with the card Quantum Riddler in it.
You have a playset of Into the Flood Moss. I already have a playset of Quantum Riddlers.
Damn. Damn.
Oh, but
getting styled on.
Yeah, but this ban cycle was really interesting. I'm very curious to see how the meta changes. I think Horse has a chance to be good again.
Like, as in, like, Snorse?
No. Calamity combo.
Oh, Smuggler's Surprise.
I think Horse has the chance to be really good again.
I mean, I've been toying around with a Quintorious Khan Breaching Dragon Storm deck.
Oh, love that.
It's cool. It's not good, but it is cool.
I love a cool deck. I'll take a cool deck over sometimes a really good deck. I will say the Simic Omniscience deck is still running really well. I played, I think, 3 matches with Ben. I think I only lost one of them, and that we didn't sideboard at all.
Yeah.
And also, my sideboard, as mentioned, was bad. It's for a different deck.
Yeah. My pick for the format right now is Simic Aggro.
I am building Simic Aggro as well.
I think that deck is really good. I think Bajamol Cub in that deck is insane. I think Ouroboroid is messed up.
Yeah.
And it has a really, really good matchup against the de facto best deck in the format right now, which is Dimir Midrange.
I was listening to the girls in Scapeshift this morning talk about how, you know, oh, Dimir's coming up, 30% Dimir, everyone's playing Dimir now. And then I think Jen pipes in and goes, yeah, it folds to Simic Aggro immediately. It cannot win that match. And I was like, nope. Oh, Simic Aggro, say less.
Yeah. No, it's good.
I'm excited to see what happens now. I think we have given Standard a fresh start. We have kicked the boy out. we have started over.
I, for one, welcome our Wan Chi Tong overlords.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see if Wan Chi Tong makes it into the format as well.
I hope so. Card's very cool.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see what happens next.
And with all that said, that's all we have time for today. New episodes release every Monday at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can follow all our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. And you can find Kira and myself on the same platforms at kirabobira.jpg on Instagram and kirabobira on Blue Sky and MayaMTG on both platforms. A big thank you to the Henhouse Recording Studios for the ongoing use of their space. And until next week, remember, she sees the faces of those who wronged her in everyone she encounters.